Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
Welcome to the Mother Wound Project podcast. I'm your host, Tandy. So as we begin to introduce this podcast topic, I'm going to ask you a question, and then I'm going to give you a few details about what we're going to be talking about today and see if this resonates. Did you become your mother's therapist before you even graduated high school? Did you learn to manage everyone else's emotions, keep the peace, absorb the chaos, and carry responsibility for your mother's emotional well-being while no one noticed your own pain? If that resonates, you're not alone. So many daughters of emotionally immature or narcissistic mothers were forced into the role of the family fixer, caretaker, or even therapist. It wasn't something you chose to do. It was something that was forced on you. And it is often a survival mechanism to survive these kinds of family dynamics. You may have been conditioned to patch up fights, comfort your mom, and sacrifice your own needs to make everyone else feel okay. But here's the truth. No child should ever have to carry that role. And if you're still playing this role as an adult, people-pleasing, over-explaining yourself, feeling responsible for other people's emotions, it's time to see that for what it is. It's a wound that is not yours to carry anymore. And that's the thing a lot of people think, oh, the solution to the mother wound issues or the solution to an emotionally immature mom is just to go no contact. No, that's just the beginning. There are lifelong consequences of being raised like this. Ways that you show up in the world where you sacrifice your needs and your happiness for everyone else. Where you people please to the point that you don't even know what you believe or what you really think because you just people please everyone else. So it's really important to realize the wound doesn't end the day you don't talk to your mom anymore. That's just the beginning of your healing. And a lot of women don't understand this, and they don't understand that their own struggles in life stem from wounds that they're still carrying. So in this episode, we're going to talk about the 5 signs that you can tell that you were the family therapist, fixer, caretaker. And then we're going to talk about the toll that that's going to take on your identity and your well-being throughout your entire life. And then at the end of the podcast, we're going to be talking about how to get out of that role so you can finally begin living for you. Finally begin allowing yourself to be happy and allowing yourself to be prioritized. So I'm just going to do an overview of these 5 signs and then we'll dive deep into them as we go through. So the number 1 is you were the emotional dumping ground for your mother. And possibly for other people in your family, depending on the family dynamic. 2, you mediated everyone else's fights, maybe between your parents or siblings, depending again on the dynamic. 3, your needs were always secondary, and you put your needs secondary to keep the peace, but no one ever cared how you felt anyway. 4, you were rewarded for fixing other people's problems. They praised you. And 5, you feel responsible for everyone else's emotions. So you struggle to relax if someone's upset. You feel responsible to soothe other people, to fix issues, and to keep everyone else happy, but at your own expense. So those are the 5 signs we're going to be discussing, and then moving into how that shows up later in life and how you can start healing from this. So we're going to start with sign 1 and dive in. You were the emotional dumping ground. So this looks like your mom venting to you about her problems, even her marriage, health, or other family members. So she's going to tell you about arguments she had with your grandma or her sister or whatever. And I want to be really clear before we dive into this one so there's no misunderstanding. There's nothing wrong with an adult daughter having a close relationship with her mother where they share about their struggles in life, successes, triumphs, and provide emotional support for each other. There's nothing wrong with that. What I'm talking about is something entirely different. And so I'm going to start with two key elements that make the emotional exchange of an emotionally immature mom inappropriate or abusive, so that you can understand more the dynamic that we're talking about here. Number one key element of the abusive nature of this is the mother expects an underage child to manage her emotions or be her therapist. That should never be happening. A mother should be talking to her husband or a friend or a sister about her emotions or her life struggles. She should not be talking to an underage child about that. That is completely inappropriate. Number two, a mother who expects her adult daughter to be her therapist, but who is also unwilling to provide the same emotional support and connection in return. So in childhood, anytime your mom is dumping her emotions on you, blaming you for her emotions, talking to you about arguments between people or whatever, that's always inappropriate. But once you're an adult, what you'll see in this, in a toxic relationship with your mom versus a healthy one, is it's very one-sided. She always wants to talk about her. She always wants you to feel bad for her and be on her side when she's had a fight with someone or disagreement or someone was mean to her or whatever. She expects you to show up for her. But then when you go through a hard time, she's very dismissive and doesn't really listen. And you can really see that imbalanced dynamic where the mother's relying on the daughter and then giving nothing in return. So that's what we're talking about here. So instead of, when you were younger, instead of being able to be the child, you became her therapist, her comforter, or her sounding board. This isn't about having a really healthy, close relationship with a mom. This is a one-sided relationship where, as a young child, you are an emotional dumping ground, and you're not receiving anything in return. And as a child, your mom is supposed to help you learn how to regulate your emotions and to listen and to comfort you and provide love for you. It's not supposed to be the other way around. We're going to talk about what that is in a minute. But in childhood, this unhealthy dynamic looks like your mother, number one, looks like your mother blaming you for her emotions. This is not the only dynamic, so I'm going to give you several kind of layers of what this looks like in childhood. Your mom may have blamed you for her emotions. She may not. That doesn't mean she's not emotionally immature. That doesn't mean it's a healthy relationship. This is just one aspect of this. So she may place the responsibility for her anger, her sadness, her frustration, whatever, on the child, saying things like, "You make me so mad." No, a child doesn't make you mad. You are in charge of your own emotions, okay? Children are exploring the world. They're learning about things. They're going to do things that don't make sense to adults. And it's our responsibility to manage our emotions and to care for that child and to guide them and teach them, not just tell them that they make us mad. She may also say, "I wouldn't yell at you if you didn't push my buttons. You drive me crazy. Look what you made me do. I wouldn't be so upset if you weren't so selfish. I'm only stressed because of you," or tell you that you ruined her day. So these are common statements that are sending the message to the child that you are responsible for my emotions. All of these comments are inappropriate and should not be said by a mother at all. This is emotional immaturity at its best, and it's also abusive. A healthy mother owns her emotions, and she also models emotional regulation for the child. This is what a mother's supposed to do. You're an adult. You need to manage your own emotions. But an emotionally immature mother outsources blame onto the child because she cannot accept responsibility for anything, and she also is just going to project those emotions somewhere else. So she may blame you, teaching you that you were the cause of conflict. You were the cause of her anger or the chaos that you were experiencing in the home. And over time, this conditions you to experience guilt because you felt responsible people pleasing, and also not prioritizing your own needs or your own emotions, and it leads to self-erasure. So the next thing you may have experienced during childhood with an emotionally immature mom, if you were the fixer caretaker, is that she overshares her problems with you when you were young. This is different in adulthood than it would be in childhood, but she's oversharing things. So she may even have talked to you about an argument with your dad and expect you to listen and provide emotional support when an argument has happened with your father. This is not healthy. This is not a healthy dynamic at all. Not every emotionally immature mom will involve the child with, you know, those kinds of arguments with the dad, but she definitely would involve you with arguments or situations with friends, a sister, a grandma, someone outside of the family. She may also just do that and then just emotionally dump on you and cry and expect you to hold all this space for her emotions. But a child should never be expected to listen to adult problems. A child does not have the capacity to solve for these issues. And so it's just unhealthy for the child. This is called parentification. It's a psychological term for when the normal parent-child roles are flipped and the child becomes responsible for the parent's emotional and even practical needs at times. This is a really unhealthy dynamic. It's quite common with emotionally immature moms. Instead of the child receiving care, guidance, and support, the child is expected to give it, which they are not developmentally prepared for. This role reversal forces a child to grow up too quickly and forces that child to absorb adult worries and the heavy weight of life that this child isn't even grown up enough to be in, right? This child is then expected to provide comfort during emotional breakdowns or mediate family conflicts. Again, the child is not developmentally supposed to be doing these things. This is a parent's responsibility. And on the surface, it may look like you were mature for your age, but underneath, it creates chronic stress, guilt, and self-abandonment. And it programs you to be willing to accept unhealthy dynamics in relationships because you're so used to being relied on but never used to being cared for. And over time, a daughter who was parentified will often struggle with boundaries because she doesn't know to care for her own needs. She feels responsible for other people's emotions. This can also happen with a partner in a relationship, which can create abusive or toxic dynamics in your relationships. And you also equate love with fixing or caretaking. This caretaking role often allows women to stay in unhealthy relationships long term because they are so used to no one caring about their needs. They don't expect their partner to care for their needs, and that can be extremely unhealthy. But it was a survival strategy that you learned to survive in a really abusive family dynamic, and that leaves deep imprints on your identity, teaching you that your value lies in what you do for others rather than who you are. Now, I want to say that again. This teaches you that your value is found in what you do for other people rather than just who you are. And that is what really creates an unhealthy relationship with yourself and then allows you to have unhealthy friendships or other relationships later in life. So I want to tell you a story about a client I had. And she described during a session that from the time she was 11 years old, her mother would sit her down at the kitchen table in the evening sometimes and unload about her marriage or, you know, struggles with the girl's grandma or whatever. She would cry, she would vent about her husband or arguments she had with a friend or whatever it was, and tell this young girl things that no child should have to carry. She would tell details about money problems. She would talk about threats of divorce, this little girl who should have been asleep and then getting ready for middle school the next day was sitting there holding her mom's hand, nodding and trying to say the right things to calm her mother down and to support her mother emotionally. By morning, this young woman was exhausted, but her mom would just be beaming and say, "I don't know what I'd do without you. You're my rock." Okay, this is the heartbreaking trap of parentification, because this young girl is being praised for being her mother's caretaker, emotional caretaker. And this young girl is like carrying this heavy weight of, are my parents going to get a divorce? They're arguing. My mom's crying. My mom's telling me all the things, that money problems that we have. These are heavy things that no child should be carrying around. She should be worried about having friends and going to school and, you know, playing soccer and doing different things. She should not be being praised for showing up emotionally for her mom in ways that she shouldn't be. But this is the heartbreaking trap of parentification. She's being praised for being mature and strong when really she was being robbed of her childhood and trained to believe that her role in life is to fix everyone else and take care of everyone else. And that is just not true. It's a very unhealthy dynamic. And we get adult women who fall very well into these caretaking roles where they don't ever look out for themselves. They just continue to caretake and they feel exhausted and spent. And there can be a lot of things that happen when a woman doesn't see herself in as anything other than a caretaker. But being the emotional dumping ground doesn't end in childhood. In adulthood, this can look like your mother expecting you to listen to her complain about arguments with your dad, or how your grandma is always criticizing her, or how her sister hurt her feelings and they got in an argument, or whatever the situation may be. So as an adult, you listen, you give her empathy and compassion, you provide emotional support, you give her ideas of how to navigate these situations with whoever she's talking about. She expects you to help her solve these issues in all of her relationships. She also expects you to validate her, saying that she was in the right and those people were wrong, and to validate how she feels. Tell her that she's right in all of these situations and confirm with her that she is the victim here. This is what she does, is she's going to draw you in and not only want you to provide the emotional support, but it's like, tell me I'm right. Tell me that they were wrong. Validate all of my feelings. I'm the victim here. They were so bad. They were wrong in what they did. This is what she's looking for. And usually this is what you provide if you're the fixer caretaker. I can't believe they said that. That was so terrible. She's like, why? I'm the victim. Like, yes, this is how this dynamic goes all the time. But so you might say, well, we all have arguments. We all have things. You're right. But the key that makes this emotionally immature is that she cannot and will not ever hold space for your emotions. So let's say you're in college, you break up with a partner, you know, in college, you lose a job, you have a surgery, you got in an argument with a friend. Anything that happened to you, your mom's dismissive. She belittles it. Does just, oh, you'll be fine. Oh, breakups are normal. It happens to all of us. She's kind of dismissive and belittling. And then she starts to make it about her. When I was in college and I broke up with my boyfriend, me and my friends did this. And then the story goes off into a tangent about her experience with the breakup. So there's no support for you. It now has become about her. You see how this dynamic is always like, we'll just ignore you and we're just going to shift and talk about her. She's also not going to offer you compassion, empathy, or any support. She's not going to ask you what you need. So if you're going through a breakup, she's not going to ask you what you need, or, you know, hey, do you want to come stay with me and we can go to lunch, or we can just talk about it, we can do whatever you need. You're never going to get that. This is the one-sided relationship of an emotionally immature person. And it's crucial for you to understand that this is never going to change. If you're going to be in a relationship with your mother, this is what you will experience. And for a long time, in my case, I was able to manage this with my mom. And the reason is my mom has her sister and her best friend, and she does everything with them. And my mom does her errands. She has her schedule. She does her things. She cleans different things on different days. She's very perfectionistic. She likes her schedule. She likes her routine. But at the end of the day, my mom never would call me. She would never talk to me unless she got in an argument with her sister or unless something like that happened. She never called me. And so I could go months without hearing from my mom anyway. And if she would call and, you know, say she had an argument with her sister or something. So I listened to the story. I would offer compassion. I would help her navigate it, get off the phone, and I wouldn't hear from her for another 3 months. And there was no real drama or anything. She didn't know a lot about my life. She just figured I was doing all the things that she would want me to be doing. And there was not really much drama because I didn't share parts of my life. And I also didn't expect her to show up for me. I did not expect help. I didn't expect anything. And I kept that dynamic for quite a long time until all of a sudden something in my life was not the way that she wanted it to be. And all hell broke loose after that. And it was actually, she found out about something. She found out that I had left the religion that I grew up in, and she found that out from her sister. And nothing has been the same since because we ran into a whole mess of things, which that's a story for another day. But you will see sometimes you'll be able to manage like a lower contact situation over a period of time, but that may even shift. So just be aware that you are constantly in this flux of deciding and seeing how this relationship fits into your life, if it's healthy, and those dynamics may change over time. You never know. But you will see that in a relationship with an emotionally immature mom, she lacks empathy. She can't self-reflect. She is incapable of seeing things from your point of view. So you're never going to receive any empathy, emotional support, or anything from your mom, but she will expect it all from you. That is the key to understanding whether you're in that type of relationship with your mom. And then we'll go to sign number two, which is if you grew up with an emotionally immature mom, chances are you weren't just her emotional support. You were also the family referee. So this is a different dynamic. Not everyone experiences this, but some do. So you may have been expected to smooth things over between siblings, to calm your dad down when he was angry, to comfort your mom after an explosive argument with your dad. You were praised for being a peacemaker, for being mature for your age, but you were placed in an impossible role carrying this responsibility of all the family conflicts. And instead of learning that conflict can be healthy and is repaired by adults, you learn to scan the room for danger. You're hyper aware of tone, body language, and tension, and you're very skilled at diffusing arguments because that's what you did growing up. You distracted your siblings. You said whatever was you needed to say to keep the peace. And on the surface, that makes you look mature and like a peacemaker, but in reality, it was survival. You're trying to not have chaos and yelling and screaming in your home, but it comes at a cost. Because it eventually leads to chronic anxiety, always bracing for the next explosion, argument, or the next thing that you have to fix. You could be hypervigilant. So you're reading every micro expression, tone of voice, wondering when the next storm is coming. And it also leads to self-erasure, where you are suppressing your own needs and your own emotions so you're not rocking the boat or causing any issues. This is not anything that should ever be put on a child. And I had a client who once told me that she could predict her mother's moods within seconds of walking through the door. Her mother's jaw was tight, or if she was slamming a cupboard too hard, she instantly knew that it was her job to step in to soothe or distract to keep things from escalating, because then her mom's going to yell at her or one of the other children. Something is going to happen. That level of watchfulness becomes second nature to you, but it's not a child's job. This hypervigilance can eventually lead to anxiety, emotional burnout, and ruminating thoughts later in life. So if you experience, you know, you may cut your mom completely off, but yet you have a lot of anxiety, you are easily emotionally overwhelmed, you have ruminating thoughts, these are remnants of being raised by an emotionally immature mom, and those things have to be unraveled whether you're in contact with her still or not. And this is the hidden damage of being the family mediator. You learn to confuse safety with silence and to carry the weight of peace at your own expense. And this can actually lead to unhealthy relationships with a partner later in life. So then I want to talk about sign number 3, where your needs always come second. This is one of the clearest signs that you were cast into the fixer caretaker role. And it realized that in an unhealthy family dynamic, you may have played several roles. This may not be the only one that you had, but this state where your needs come secondary to keep the peace with everyone else, your needs are always brushed aside, dismissed as unimportant compared to everyone else's. Usually the family actually does this, and then you are trained to do it to yourself later on. So if you were tired, you were told that someone else had it worse than you, or that you were lazy. If you were hurt, your pain was minimized or ignored, or your mom would tell you how she had it worse, or something, that same thing happened to her, and she starts telling her story about it. If you asked for attention or affection or support, you were met with impatience. You were guilt-tripped for being selfish or too much. Over time, you were conditioned to believe that love equals self-sacrifice, that being a good daughter meant putting your mother's moods, your siblings' needs, and the whole family's stability before yourself. And so usually, when you're a fixer caretaker, sometimes you are that only to your mother. So realize that can be the case. Or you were that to the entire family. So you were comforting siblings and trying to keep people from getting angry. It can go from anyone, any side of that, and anything in between. But as your siblings rely on you and expect you to listen to their problems and your mom's and everything else, you're pulled in a million different directions. And the cost of this is chronic people pleasing, saying yes when you want to say no, and agreeing with people about something you don't actually agree with, telling people you believe something you don't actually believe just to keep peace. You have difficulty identifying your own needs because you were never allowed to have them. So if you ever needed something, it may have been either dismissed or even made your mother angry. Either one of those things. And it trains you not to even recognize your own needs. You may feel emotionally exhausted, and you may even have resentment, constantly giving without receiving. And sometimes the resentment doesn't come until later in life when you realize what you've had to live with, when you start waking up, opening your eyes, and seeing that you're in a one-sided relationship with your mom. That's usually where the resentment comes from. Before that, it's usually feeling emotionally drained and exhausted after an interaction with your mom and not knowing why. And it's because you are constantly giving your energy to your mom. You are fixing things for her and taking on her emotional burdens and all of that. And you just feel exhausted when you walk away. Also, it may be from gaslighting and a million other things. You also have guilt for prioritizing yourself. So even basic care can feel selfish to you. If you want to just sit down and watch a TV show and rest, you feel lazy. You feel like you're not valuable. You're not contributing. You know what I mean? You feel guilty. If you just want to go take a bubble bath or do something for yourself, or if you want to say no to an event, not because you have a reason, but you just don't really feel like going, you can feel guilty for that because you'll should yourself. I should go. I shouldn't be like that. You're prioritizing other people. If you don't want to do something, you don't have to do that thing. And you've just been trained not to feel like it's okay to do that. So I had another client. And during one session, she was remembering being 8 years old, coming home from school, excited to share about a project she had worked on all week. And before she could even get the words out, her mother snapped at her, "Not now, I don't have time for this. I've had a terrible day." And this girl kind of stuffs down her excitement and never brought it up again. As an adult, the pattern continued. She defaulted to silence, believing her needs would always be too much for others. Now, this doesn't sound like we've all probably done this at one time or another, where a child is coming up to us and we are overwhelmed. But what I want you to understand is this was a chronic pattern. The mother never wanting to hear. And then when she would share with her mom, get the chance to say, I got an A on this project, or be super excited about something, she was dismissed. Your needs constantly being dismissed makes you feel like having needs. For one thing, it doesn't ever work, but because nobody ever responds to those needs, but also you are trained to believe that you shouldn't, you're too much, right? And the hidden cost of having your needs dismissed is that you continually dismiss yourself in adulthood. And this is another issue, is that this is just another layer of guilt in adulthood of when you have needs. It's like if you need to have someone help you carry something, or you're sick or whatever, and you don't call someone and ask for help. You don't say, hey, can you come over and help me, or whatever. You're constantly trying to do things on your own because that's what you were trained to do. And then we're going to move into sign number 4. You're rewarded for fixing to a certain extent, obviously. But one of the most confusing parts of being cast as the family fixer and caretaker is that they're constantly praising you for it, which essentially is praising you for dismissing yourself. So we've talked about this several times already, being told that you are mature for your age or you're so strong. But you may also have been told you are so responsible. I can always count on you. You're always there for me. Those kinds of things. And so you're being complimented for doing this. And on the surface, that sounds good, being complimented. But the problem is, you're never going to be complimented for your accomplishments in life. It's you are being praised for being there for other people. Underneath, though, these are tools of manipulation, subtle ways of rewarding you for abandoning your own needs and carrying the weight of everyone else's. And that's where this becomes toxic and abusive and difficult. Instead of being nurtured as a child, you were applauded for playing an adult role, babysitting siblings, soothing your mother's emotional breakdowns, cleaning the house without being asked, holding secrets that were too heavy for your age, whatever that may have been, and however that may have looked. Every time you step up and you're fed the narrative that your worth is your usefulness to other people. This can get really dangerous as women grow up, because oftentimes when a young woman starts dating, she also feels that her worth is her usefulness to this boy. And that can get real dangerous. Women can get into really toxic and abusive situations in a variety of ways, and I'm not going to get into all the details of how this plays out. But essentially, a lot of these women are, they allow all kinds of abusive things to happen to them because they feel useful, or they feel like they are people-pleasing the person that they are dating, and then that makes them worthwhile. This is a dangerous thing to believe. And again, this parentification is then becomes your worth, right? So the way that you're showing up for your mom, and she's praising you for being there for her. And so this praise leads to feeling responsible for making everyone else happy and pleasing them. And this can get, like I said, dangerous in romantic relationships. And then it also becomes dangerous in endless self-sacrificing, not looking at your own needs, your own dignity, and your own value. You're just looking at people pleasing other people. Creates an identity where you feel valuable only when you're fixing, solving, holding it all together, or pleasing someone else in some way. In adulthood, that can look like overworking, overgiving, struggling to ever feel good enough, unless you're helping someone else or you are pleasing someone else in some way. The tragedy is what you needed was comfort, affirmation, and freedom to just be a child. And instead, you were applauded for disappearing into a role that kept everyone else comfortable at your expense. That's the biggest thing, is a lot of women will do so many things in their life and feel like their value is in being beautiful for someone else, which that just ends up feeding into toxic patriarchal narratives about women. But we give in to that because we feel value if we are pleasing to someone else. We can also try to fix everyone else's problems, or, someone's yelling or screaming at you in a relationship and you stay and you're constantly fixing and feeling responsible because you were groomed to. So it doesn't matter. This can end up being toxic in so many ways. And then we're going to go to sign number 5, which is feeling responsible for everyone else's emotions. So, and we've talked about this obviously throughout the podcast, because this is a very key element in the fixer caretaker role. This pattern, though, is going to follow you into your closest relationships throughout your adulthood unless you do the work to unravel yourself from this identity, because you can feel responsible for friends, coworkers, partners, even strangers. And you may feel an almost magnetic pull to fix, soothe, or manage other people's emotions. If your partner is upset, you can't relax until you calm them down. If they are unhappy, you instantly feel like it's your job to figure out what went wrong, make it right, even if they were the ones that hurt you, right? And on the surface, you look so empathetic and compassionate, but underneath, this is actually a trauma response. Fawning. Growing up, you learned that your survival depended on keeping the peace and smoothing conflict, making your mother feel okay. And that wiring runs really deep, and it causes you to sacrifice yourself in so many ways. You may stay in toxic or abusive relationships because taking care of someone else and even taking care of their chaos feels normal to you. Believing you're responsible for your partner's moods, mistakes, or even their self-destruction. This can get really dangerous depending on the level, the depth that this has gone in your life. You may feel like you're walking on eggshells in your own home, just like you did as a child, which feels familiar even though you don't like it. Feeling guilty for setting boundaries, saying no, or pulling away from unhealthy dynamics. That's another aspect. The guilt is rough. I had to learn that the hard way, trying to navigate a relationship with my own mom. Another client, when I was talking to her, was telling me that she stayed in a relationship for 5 years with a partner that was emotionally volatile and manipulative. And she thought, if I can just be more patient, if I can just love him enough, maybe he'll change. Now, we can get some of these belief systems even from religious conditioning as well. So that can be a double whammy with this. But that belief wasn't love. It was the echo of her childhood conditioning. If I can fix mom, maybe I'll be safe. Maybe I'll be loved. If I can just fix this or make them feel better. That's not what love is about. You are not responsible for your partner's emotions, your friend's emotions. It's fine when someone wants to come and talk about how they were feeling or what happened at work or whatever, but when the responsibility is placed on you to manage that for them, or you try to take on that role, that's where this becomes problematic. When their happiness, anger, sadness, or peace, when you take the responsibility for that, that's where this is harmful. But realizing that their own anger, sadness, or happiness is theirs to own, that's when you know you have moved beyond this training programming that you received as a child. Your responsibility is for your own well-being, not to carry the weight of anyone else's. And I do want to recognize that breaking this pattern, it's not easy, but it's the beginning of your freedom. Because once you let go of the responsibility for everyone else's emotions, you finally have the space to feel your own. And that is where your own healing journey begins. So let's talk about the cost of being the family therapist, and then we'll talk about how to step out of that role to finish out. Carrying this role, fixer, caretaker, family therapist, however you want to label that, it doesn't fade when you grow up. And it also doesn't fade when you cut contact with family or your mom or anything else. It leaves lasting scars. The constant pressure to hold everyone together wires your nervous system for stress, anxiety, hypervigilance, creating patterns of depression, perfectionism, all kinds of things. Because you were never taught where you end and others begin. That's the key. I want to say that again. You were never taught where you end and others begin. Boundaries feel foreign to you or even selfish. And over time, this leads to emotional exhaustion, self-abandonment, where your needs are buried under the weight of responsibility that you were never meant to carry. And to be honest with you, it's best to heal this before you have children of your own. Not because you would necessarily do the same thing that your mother did, but the more emotionally stable and regulated, and the more that you start to understand healthy relationships, the more you're going to be able to show up in a healthy way for your own children. But also, you know, this bleeds into relationships with your friends, relationships with a future partner or whatever. When you allow people to mistreat you because you're used to that, when you're always trying to fix them because you're used to that, instead of just having a happy, healthy relationship where people can interact with each other and support each other and have healthy conflict resolution, that generally does not happen in someone that grew up as a fixer caretaker. You generally don't. Can you have healthy relationships? Absolutely. It just depends on how deep these wounds go. So then let's move into how to heal and step out of this role. So breaking free from being this caretaker, fixer, therapist means releasing the subconscious belief that your value lies in managing and fixing others. Healing requires new tools and new ways of relating. So you can go through therapy and navigate your belief systems and all of that, work through all of those things. Hypnotherapy. Obviously, this is my specialty, my go-to. I even do this for myself when I'm trying to unravel things. And the reason is hypnotherapy helps rewire those deep-rooted beliefs that love equals fixing, or you earn love by managing others' emotions. And it's very effective, and it also doesn't take years of talking. So that's another part that I love. Through hypnosis, you plant new truths that love can be safe and does not require responsibility for other people's emotions, that you are worthy of being supported, that you are worthy of being loved and valued and taken care of. And we just rewire and go through these different belief systems and help you come to a new awareness of self. You can also go through inner child work, speaking directly to the little girl inside who thought she had to carry everyone's pain, and reminding her that she is safe and that she doesn't have to hold it all anymore. That's another really powerful thing. I also really like to work with my clients on boundary scripts. So having them learn how to navigate conversations with their mom, how to deal with the gaslighting, playing the victim, all that stuff. So, for example, I'll just give you one example of a boundary script. So let's say you deal with a mom who is explosive, who is emotionally volatile, and let's say that the conversation starts escalating. And so you would just respond, "I can tell you're upset. We can revisit this conversation when you've calmed down." And then you hang up, you leave the room, whatever. So we kind of go over a lot of these ways to handle things so that when you get in this situation, you have tools to be able to manage the situation and manage the conversation without just getting sucked into the vortex, because that's where it just descends into chaos. I also recommend everyone have healthy support systems, surrounding yourself with relationships that are built on reciprocity and care. So friendships, any relationship with you that you have with any family members, whether that's a sister or a cousin or whatever, making sure that these are supportive, healthy relationships and that these are not flying monkeys of your mother, because that just creates an even worse dynamic. And your partner that you choose definitely needs to be a support for you and a place that you can go and feel safe and feel loved and feel nurtured and have, you know, a healthy dynamic there. So those are really the things that I think help the most as you navigate unraveling these things and navigate contact with your mom, interactions with your mom. And it really is an unraveling and detangling all of this enmeshment with responsibility for everyone's emotions. Life coaching is also another really great option. And I would highly recommend, if you are starting on this journey, to get the Mother Wound Recovery Kit. It is very inexpensive. It just helps you launch into this healing process. It gives you some tools of how to respond to your mom when there's gaslighting or blaming or all of that stuff. It helps you learn how to navigate the conversations, how to navigate the level of contact with your mom. It goes over a lot of kind of beginning stages of this program of healing. And the other thing that it does is there is a hypnotherapy session provided in there for you to also start unraveling some of those belief structures. So I would highly recommend that if you're feeling like you want to start this journey. I do offer one-on-one sessions. All of this can be found on my website. I should probably say that, www.themotherwoundproject.com. That's what it is. Go there. You can join the waitlist for the Inner Circle. The Inner Circle is a support system for women navigating emotionally immature mothers. And it is a month-by-month program, so we have live seminars that you can join. You will be put in a sister circle of about 8 other women that provide support to each other, and you will have meetings together in your sister circles and group coaching sessions, all kinds of things that we do in the Inner Circle. But there are no spots available right now, so you can get on the wait list for that. You can book a one-on-one session. And just, we can either do a hypnotherapy session, coaching sessions, however you want to work with things. So we have a lot of resources available for you to start this healing process. And I would love to be a part of this journey with you. So you can also follow me on Instagram, and there's a lot of great things there as well. But I just want to end with letting you know that you're not responsible for fixing your family. You're not responsible for anyone else's emotions. The only thing that you're responsible for is your own healing.